The following show is intended for a mature audience.
Nope, not for the kids.
So if you're underage...
Go to bed!
Easily offended...
Get over yourself!
Or you got a gigantic stick up your... You might want to go do some needlepoint or something.
It's the Gentle Silverwing Show on Online Gaming Radio.
It's time to kick your feet up, tune in and waste some time. You're gonna waste 2 hours on Gentle Show tonight.
Hey there, Dwarf!
Hey, Jesus!
It's like a tragic tale, all the crazy things he makes us
well,
do.
Well, I'm just glad I got my ale.
On the most sensational,
entertainable,
this is what we call Gentle Silverwing Show. Oh, we're gonna get sued by the ghost of Jim Henson, I know it!
Hello everyone, this is the Gentle Silverwing Show for January 18th, 2011. I am your host, Gentle Silverwing. With me as always, my love, my girl, the Bringing Malloy, the Taylor Fine Arbors, the Baker Fine Cookies, and delicious creamy fudge, just the one and only El Quinchena!
Hail and greetings. You actually breathed that time.
Well, you gotta breathe once in a while. If you'd like to join in on the mayhem, you can hop on to the in-game chat channel, guk.ogr, which is up and running 24/7, where the OGR elite come to meet. If you'd like to download any of our skits, interviews, Gentle's parodies, Elquin's videos, and much, much more, you can find them at kithacore.org. How are you doing today, Elquin?
Oh, I'm sad. We don't get a puppy today.
No, we got delayed a little bit, but we'll talk about that in the second half of the show.
Okay, fine.
Yes, we will. Okay, we do have a guest tonight, so I'm going to go ahead and make the birthday announcements straight off here so we can get them out of the way. I may have to turn up the mic just a little bit. Let's see here. There we go. All right, this week's birthdays. Kurt, I'm going to murder his last name, Schuringer, who is Akira on Online Gaming Radio. His birthday is on the 21st. Members of the Legion of Kithacore, Hoopy and Moonmist both have birthdays on the 24th. And we want to congratulate them on making another year. Here come the birthday trolls! Or do they? Where the hell are they? My birthday troll thing is gone. God damn it.
They ran off. You forgot to pay him.
I forgot to pay the birthday trolls. Oh, I'll fix it later. Here's a ding for you. There, I gave you a ding. See, this is what happens when I move to a new computer. It's like the only sound effect I didn't program into my stuff. We'll get it later. With us this week...
Did you say your mic sounds like shit?
My mic sounds like shit?
A washcloth over your mic.
Well, that's weird.
Let's see. I got a washcloth over your mic. Sounds like you're talking through an old telephone. Is mine that bad, guys?
Yeah, they're saying we both sound that way. Hold on a second. I'm going to switch my...
Broadcasting on an Apollo moon mission.
Interesting. Okay, hold on a second. Let me switch my headset to the laptop so I can hear what it sounds like. Hold on a sec. See, this is the problem with switching my configuration last week. I don't know what we sound like anymore. Hold on just a sec. I'll get my headset here.
He did test this earlier in the week. Maybe we could say we're just broadcasting.
Testing.
The dungeon.
Testing.
They're clear but distant.
Hello, testing.
Sounds like you're broadcasting a codex of 24-bit kilobits.
I can't hear what's going on. Hold on a sec. I have no idea what the heck's going on here. Hold on a sec.
Says we sound like Pearl Harvey.
Who? Pearl Harvey?
Paul Harvey.
I don't know who Pearl Harvey is.
Oh,
but apparently
God.
We sound like them. I don't know why. I have absolutely no idea why.
They want to know if we're hungover.
No, no.
He never gets hungover. I quit doing that long ago. It hurts too much. You know, this is Pearl Harvey, and now you know the rest of the story?
Nope, I don't know who Pearl Harvey is.
I will educate him, trust me.
Well, shit. Hold on a second. Right. We're going to have to figure something else out, here. They can't hear us. This is going to work.
They can hear us. They just say we sound like we're distant.
That's really weird. All right, let me see here. Stinks with this configuration. I can't hear what's going on.
Ah, sorry.
Stinks with this configuration. I can't hear what's going on. Okay, I can now hear what they're talking about. Stinks with this configuration. I can't hear what's going on. Okay, I can now hear what they're talking about. Stinks with this configuration. I can't hear what's going on. Right, now they can hear everything that I'm hearing, so that's bad. So let's
disable the sound like crap button.
Don't I wish it worked that way? I think what I need to do here is turn down.
They're saying that Rush Limbaugh is the king of talk radio, and Pearl Harvey is Merlin.
Okay.
Merlin was a pretty good wizard.
Yeah.
Testing, 1, 2. Yeah, I think I found the problem. The problem was we were distorting a bit because the mics were too loud.
That must have been the sound like crap button.
Could be. Now let me tune back in here for a second. Bear with us. I'm working on it.
They're still entertained. We're improvised, but we're entertained. What?
Bear with us. I'm working on it.
They're still entertained. We're improvised, but we're entertained.
I'm trying to listen to our stream. We are delayed by a few seconds. All right, I think we're all set. How do we sound now, guys? Testing. 1, 2, 3. Testing. Yeah, okay, Truefly saying much better. All right, yeah, that was a problem. Apparently, when I unplugged the mic this afternoon...
Much better. Still getting odd game sounds. Don't look at me, my sounds are off.
No, what it is I recorded the Halls of the Mountain King for our background music right from... Dungeon Overlord. So what you're hearing is the picks and stuff like that from the goblins.
They're still hard at work.
Yes,
of course.
Hard
our
at
minions
work.
Must work.
Work, minions, work! Anyway. So yeah, I think I got that straightened out. Must remember, microphone volume or line in volume on the laptop must be set at 10, not 50.
Oh!
Yeah, we were distorting pretty badly.
From the other side of the moon by that time, right?
Yeah, we were distorting pretty badly. We were like Deep Black on Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. We had to be played from a moon orbiting the planet that it was going to be heard from.
Oh, God.
All right. Okay, I think we got it now. Now, with us this week, sorry about that, we are joined by JTR, who runs the Wayward Alliance, which is a collaboration of people playing Dungeon Overlord. And you can guess, you can call it an unofficial guild. It's more an alliance of sorts. So, hello, Julio.
How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Now, admittedly, and the folks at Sony are probably going to, you know, come around
shame
here personally
you.
And shame me and slap me upside the head. Like I'm DiNozzo in NCIS or something like that, but I don't play the game. I tried it. It's not my thing. I'm sorry. It's not my thing. So Elquin's going to be heading this one up. Go ahead, Elquin.
So let's start at the very beginning. What started the Wayward Alliance?
Well, I was running really low on supplies. And it was real hard to get them at level 2.
That's pretty easy to do.
Yeah, I mean, they gave you some good starter supplies, but eventually it got to like, alright, if you want to actually level up and gain experience, you're going to need X, Y, and Z, and X, Y, and Z just happened to be like on the whole other side of the map. So it wasn't very useful to me, nor did I really want to wait 4 days to go and get it.
So this... keep going.
So I decided, you know, I had a couple of friends that were playing with me. I hit the forums up and I, you know, put out a posting and asked who is in the Windward area. That's Windward, guys. Windward. But, yeah, I asked who was playing and who was in that area and got a couple of hitbacks and we got together, started trading some supplies, and it grew. I think we have a little bit under 20 people right now in the Alliance and actively trading with them all.
And we've got, you created a, was it a group or, I forgot what they call them on Facebook.
Yeah, a private group.
We're a private group on Facebook. And, what have so far we've been using that, and I joined up immediately because I last week when we had Linda Brass Carlson on, who is let me get her official title because I always forget, Senior Global Community Relation Manager. See, that's a lot of words for me to remember.
Yeah, that's a mouthful.
How can we acronym that? SGC.
She's the boss.
Okay. So that would be BOSS?
There you go.
There you go. Anyway, so we were talking to her last week about Dungeon Overlord. Because it just... wasn't it last week?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because just the week before that it started up, didn't it? Yeah, it hasn't been running that long.
A couple weeks now, I thought.
Yeah. And that was one of the things I brought up to her then, too. Was if the developers... who are, what, Night Owl Games?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If they would even, you know, possibly go down that route. We don't know yet, because, honestly, I don't think anybody knows exactly what they've got planned yet for Dungeon Overlord, because it is sort of a PvP-type situation where, you know, you do build yourself up enough where you can go in and attack, pillage other people's dungeons. But I don't think anybody's really gotten strong enough to that point yet. I think I've seen a few players try it. I know my son has gotten hit, and the guy's excuse was, well, I thought you were inactive, so he's...
They were pillaging! Pillaging!
So besides sharing resources and finding other people at within our little group that need stuff, what was some of the other plans for the Alliance?
Oh, definitely group raiding. I mean, it was fun. I did a couple of raids and they came back successful, but figured, you know, if you really want to decimate somebody's dungeon, send about 7-8 people out at a time and, you know, you're going to have to heal your guys up at an incredible rate to defend against that. And after all your guys are dead, you ain't going to really have much to defend your resources from. So that's when the thieves would come in. So you kind of get killed, robbed, and then, you know, left to either leave your dungeon or start anew.
Now, you said you were on a couple raids. Was this to settlements or towns or other people's dungeons?
Oh, no, other people's dungeons.
Really? They already?
They have a lot better resources, believe it or not. I actually got, you know, some moonstone from them, some ochre, some iron, some well-needed earth. Actually proved pretty beneficial.
Now, what brought down the wrath of TWA on them?
I found somebody had snuck a thief past my trap.
Oh!
Really PO'd. You know, I work hard to get my earth, so after I lost some of my earth, it kind of got me mad, so got a couple of friends together to raid him. He doesn't have very much now. His vault is empty, and his workers were starving. Kind of took his food, so he couldn't pay his workers very much food. So they weren't producing very much after that.
So overall, we're just sort of grouping together to look out after each other and take care of each other for resources. I know I produce a lot of earth, so if you need any more, you gotta let me know so I can send you some.
Definitely.
a lot of times I'm juggling it between my two dungeons. And then when they both get full, it's like, well, who needs any? It seems like the progression is
slow.
Slow? I don't think anybody... No, is anybody in the WTA level 3 yet?
No.
We're all crawling our way.
I think we have maybe two members that are pretty close to it. I think on Friday, one of our members will actually be hitting level 3. And see if I can pull his name up. But yeah, he's actually really close to it. I'd say he's about, you know, 400 experience points away. So we're kind of stoked about that. See, trying to survey a couple of spots for him so that way he doesn't just, you know, plop his dungeon down and just get some really crappy resources. So a couple of our members did some surveying from him, seeing what was going to be the most beneficial move, being as he'll be level 3 before everyone else.
Do you know where he is on the map?
Actually, yes. On our page, we have everybody's coordinates, so that way it kind of makes sending stuff and contacting people a little bit easier. I'll actually pull that up as well.
That was one of the things I was mistaken about last week, is that if you go to the overhead map, and then if you go to that person's dungeon, because every little node, every little mound has, what is it, 6 little dungeons in it, and then starter dungeons, and then from there there's other ones. So that's the main coordinates. Let me see. Well, there's 5 starter dungeons, and then from there there's 18 other locations within that hill that could be taken over by other people to be mined. There's the heart of the mountain, which is supposed to be coming soon, which I'm not sure what they're going to do. But if if he needed earth and he's not on my friends list, I would go to his little mound, find his little dungeon, and then I'm able to just ship it directly to him at that point. I didn't realize we could do that.
Yeah, it takes some tinkering with to find that one out.
Yeah, there's a few things.
Definitely should have had that tutorial.
There's a few things you got to figure out. Like, I had to go to the forums to figure out how in the hell I'm supposed to get a slug enclosure. You get this quest that says, slug enclosures increase the amount of food that your farm produces. Of course, each slug enclosure takes up a little tile, stuff like that, and you're supposed to make one, but it doesn't tell you how.
Hmm.
So I go to my my crafting thing, and I look down my list, and there's no slug enclosures, so I'm not sure how I was supposed to get one. So I had to go to the forum, which is extremely useful, and somebody else, I think it was... Well, you guys started the wiki board too, didn't you? Or who started the wiki?
The wiki board is actually being taken care of by Liston. He's I guess I would be the second administrator next to you and I. And Liston started it, and I've just every time somebody found something new about the game, they've just been adding to it. But Liston would be the primary person adding stuff to it. Next would probably be Jason Leo. He's been adding a couple of things. He added some new furniture and, you know, what the bonuses were, so that way you don't ask out 1,000 leather on something that you're not even going to use and then get mad about it. So yeah, between Liston and Jason, they've pretty much put the wiki board together pretty well. Give a lot of thanks to them. Save a lot of people some hard time and 24 hours of producing the things to make it.
But at least, you know, somebody had posted how to, you know, you've got to have a level 2 lab, and then you have to have hellish cooking, and in order to unlock slug enclosures.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of little different things like that banding together as we're sort of, this is the first, it's not, I can't say official, it's sort of it's official outside of Game Guild. For the game, because there's no way to become a guild or have alliances within Dungeon Overlord at the moment. And like I said, I'm not sure if that's where the developers want to go. But I could sure see the advantages of having an alliance. This way, for one, there's safety in numbers.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because I'm not much of a big PvP-er, but I know if I come in and find out that somebody outside of the alliance has attacked my dungeon, there's going to be hell to pay.
Oh, yeah. We'll be there front and center.
So we have this thing going on, so at least there's safety. We got the little safety in numbers thing going, which makes the game enjoyable. And, I'm getting little tells in here. Yeah, it's still in beta, so they may use them. We just don't know if they'll come up with some sort of alliance type thing. Let's see. So far, what has been the hardest thing that you've discovered in Dungeon Overlords?
What do you mean the hardest thing?
Well, the hardest thing.
The hardest research?
Yeah, the hardest research to do so far.
Oh, I would have to say. Ah, man, the hardest research. Well, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I had some station cash left over, so I kind of had a little bit of a jump start on other people, like as far as tiles go, but I definitely say the hardest thing was getting up to the geology portion where you can actually mine these things, because my second dungeon, I was fortunate enough to have diamonds. Anybody come after me and try to rob me, there will be hell to pay. But my second dungeon does have diamonds in it, and I was a little discouraged to find out that after I got geology, that I needed deep geology to actually unearth these diamonds. So, yeah, I'd say that up to that point, yeah, I kind of grinded it out for research as far as the geology went, though. It only took me a while to get that research up, because I kind of ignored everything else. Found out that there was prerequisites before you can get certain things leading up to it.
And there's really, and outside of after you do the tutorial, those little things are kind of hard to you don't really know. You have to stumble along until you figure it out.
Oh yeah. Well, I think with the way that I did it, I kind of like would pass one mission and then the next one would pop up and it would already be done, because I was like kind of crafting everything as it came along on the research tree. So by the time it had come up as a mission, it was already crafted. I just kind of had to place it down and figure out what it did. But yeah, big ups to Liston. He made that wiki board and it definitely helped. Now I'm just saving up leather and crystite for these bookcases. Give 5% research boosts, and the boosts actually stack, so.
Now, we're about the same level. How did you get bookcases?
There was a couple of prerequisites that you had to do for them. I'd have to log into the game to actually tell you that, but yeah, there was a couple of prerequisites. I kind of asked a couple of guildmates if they knew what we had to do to get them, or if there was a way to boost up the research levels, because it was getting a little bit tedious picking up, you know, 10, 7, 6 experience, or research, I should say, at a time to, you know, make it to 4,000. Like I said, after I hit the geology and the level 7 stuff as far as research went, it kind of got a little hectic saving up 8,000 plus.
Yep. Yeah, I'm at that stage too where I'm hitting everything I need to research now is a 4,000 plus.
Yeah, so the bookcases are definitely the way to go as far as that goes, because the bonus actually stacks. So if you get 10 bookcases in there, you'll have plus 50% to your research. And I kind of have like, well, I want to say 25 warlocks.
Wow, so, in one dungeon?
Spread between two.
Ah, okay.
That's a lot of warlocks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would hire somebody else, but unfortunately, they're the only educated one so far that can research things. I was kind of hoping that Priestess would help with that bonus, but they don't. So, yeah, kind of wasted some experience getting her. Didn't really need a healer for my attack party, but...
And what level are your wizards?
Most of them are actually level 1, because, again, we found out, thank you to Liston and Jason, that their level doesn't really have any bearing as far as how much research they crank out. I think it's, I believe it's more so the tiles that they're sitting on that kind of multiplies the amount of research. So, been wasting a lot of floor space on tiles for their libraries. But I'd say it's cranking out pretty well right now. I get over 600 research per hour, so it's not too bad.
Do you have any, what do they call those things? Hang on a second. Ogres. Yeah.
Yeah, I actually just got mine 2 days ago.
Wow.
Yeah, it takes a hell of a lot of resources.
To make an ogre.
Oh, yes, it does. Goblin twine is not fun to make. It takes a lot of leather. A lot of
see, in those of you guys who have not tried Dungeon Overlord yet, you have to to make a wizard, to attract a wizard, you have to put down a wizard bed, and then that will attract a wizard.
Wait. You gotta put down a bed to attract a wizard?
Yes.
You're seducing the wizards?
Yes, we are.
Why are you seducing the wizards?
Because we
And have aren't you afraid these wizards are gonna turn treacherous on you?
No.
I think as long as they eat and get paid, they're alright.
Yeah, and that's how we attract orcs. We put down coarse masks.
You're seducing orcs!
Oh, it gets better, hun. And if we want a dark elf... Let's see, where is that thing?
I don't want to know what you have to do to attract dark elves.
Well, we have to... What is it?
What, paint a room with baby's blood or something? Come on!
No. It's a... Hang on a sec. We have to put a guardhouse up.
To attract the dark elf, you have to defend yourself?
Very useful.
The dark elves?
But no, they're guardhouses. They actually up your defender's attack percentage. Very useful. Those are actually my favorite units so far. Them and the people.
And what about dark elves themselves?
Oh, they're good. They're long range. I mean, when the attackers come into your dungeon, you know, well, I have a trap right in front, so if you try to come through my entrance, you're going to get hit with a trap right off the bat. But they hit from long range, and they have, I would say with the level that I have mine at, they hit pretty hard. So they don't move also. They stay inside of their little hut, so their attackers actually have to come near their hut to come and attack them. And by that time, the ogre and the orcs and the warlocks and, you know, the other dark elves have already hit them with something, so they have, I'd say, less than a tenth of their life by the time they actually make it to the guardhouse to attack my elves.
Wow. I'll have to take a look at your dungeon, which is something they finally implemented again, so you can, well, not again, but fixed, where I can actually go take a look inside your dungeon. And then if you want to attract a thief, you have to get a trap door down in the tavern. Now, why the thieves hang out in trap doors in the tavern, I don't know.
I know they're useful. They're real useful.
Angela Cora is saying it's just like Dungeon Keeper.
I didn't play that. I've heard that a lot from people too. Didn't play that one.
So yeah, you have to build something for these guys to sleep in order to attract them.
Way of the world in the Dungeon Overlord.
So, honey, are you still there, or did you fall asleep on us?
I'm here, but you lost me, 5 minutes in. it's kind of like, you know, us having our show about EverQuest and then having people from who have never even played an MMO trying to understand it. Like, my mom tries to tune in to my show once in a while. She has no idea what the hell we're talking about.
Oh, man.
But I'm having a good time running my little minions around and slowly building them up. I won't worry about building up the wizards anymore. If they're not going to produce more research because they're higher level.
They hit harder, for what it's worth.
Well, yeah, I could send them out to bash all things or something.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that, though. You send them out, you get no research coming in.
That's
so
true.
I kind of don't see why they did that. They should have just left them as, you know... I guess defenders, if you want to do that. But yeah, I haven't sent any warlocks out since I started the game.
And what do you like to send out when you're going after a settlement or something?
Oh, thieves.
Just thieves?
Thieves, yeah. Well, my thieves are pretty high level, so once they make it past the trap, we kind of don't have to fight you. So it's like we skip the fight, skip the death part, but we get the resources, so it kind of works out in the end. And they actually have the fastest travel speed of everybody else.
Really? So maybe I should concentrate on more thieves.
Yeah, because, I mean, people lay down traps, but I think, I don't know how the level to trap ratio works, but I know my thieves have made it past just about every trap that they've thrown down thus far without actually triggering it. They kind of disable the trap, walk by, go into the vault, grab what they need, and leave. So it's worked out to my benefit.
See, I know one of the quests I've got to do is train an orc warrior, a warlock, thief, dark elf, dark priestess, or ogre to level 30. And I'm trying to get Fluffy up. Fluffy's my ogre. He's 25 right now. Yep. I figured for
Fluffy the Wonder Ogre.
Okay. I figured with a name like Fluffy, there it's got to be strike the heart.
God, too. Now I have to write a song about an ogre named Fluffy.
Would have caught me out there. I definitely would have taken that name lightly.
It's Fluffy. Oh yeah, Fluffy Smash. That's okay. Domino, who's our trade skill lady for EQ2? She named her ogre Fluffy after mine. I thought that was amusing. So, anybody got any questions about Dungeon Overlord at all in the channel, guys?
I've been keeping an eye on the channel, and I have been encouraging people to talk, but I haven't seen anything yet.
Well, they should come and try it. That's all I can say.
Questions, comments, solutions. I have a solution. I have a solution to the overpopulation problem. Death penalty for parking violations.
Angela Cora wants to know, how do I update my den? Angela, are you just starting the dungeon? Are you still in your tutorial thing? I gotta wait a second for the delay. Because she might be.
Yeah, I think I'm about to hit level 5.
I have
five.
A quest to do so.
Marianna from the Antonia Bell server has been waiting for Eloquent Jenna to accept her friend invite.
I know. She has, Angela Cora says, I have a quest to do so. Well, there. If you're in the tutorial, there it will teach you how to upgrade a room eventually, doesn't it?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it prompts you to it. I believe if you click on the den area or an empty tile on the den area, and hit details, little screen is gonna come up, and on the left hand side it'll show your current inventory or stash of necessary items you need to upkeep it, and on the right hand side of the slash it's going to let you know what's needed to reach the next upgrade. So once you match what you actually have to what you need, the next time you click on that empty spot in the area, a tab will come up and it'll have upgrade as an option.
Okay, we do have a question from Moon Rising from the Guck server of EverQuest 2 wants to know, what does the friend part do? What are the benefits to being someone's friend?
They don't attack you, they don't rob you, and more than likely they have something that you don't need, because they kind of have the black market, which you can buy just about any resource from, except for the heart of the mountain, I believe it is, and you know, the things that I'm assuming Sony is saving for the actual hearts of the mountain. Areas that you can't get to right now because it's still being worked on. But yeah, it's just a lot cheaper. You'll save money. I mean, buying leather costs $40 per piece of leather, and you need like 75 pieces of leather to actually do something with. So instead of paying the 40 per piece, like, you know, between my guild mates, I can get it for anywhere 5 to 10 a piece. So it makes progressing and actually getting those little 10 experience missions a lot quicker than if you were to do it by yourself. Like, you're talking about saving at least 2-3 days worth of work getting it done in a couple hours.
So that should be my next goal, is to get other people that are in the alliance as my friends on the in the dungeon, at least.
Yeah, well, I know the friend part that they have, that Sony implemented, the only thing you can give away right now is gold, so unless you talk to them and actively trade with them, I don't think anybody's just going to give away their hard-earned gold.
No.
But, I mean, sometimes you'll get lucky, I guess, if you help them out with a couple of supplies. I haven't been able to find a friend like that. Still looking, by the way, if you're out there. I'll be your friend.
I mean, I've spent a little station cash, I will admit it. I got 25 tiles.
Awesome, so did I.
I like just got tired. And there is a way to get more tiles. I forgot, you've told me the path. I know I've asked you about this future. And then yeah. Go into, is it Dungeon Mastery? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. If you follow the Dungeon Mastery,
I believe it's Stone Binding.
In the research, yeah, there's Lesser Stone Binding, which gives you an extra 25 tiles. Increases
yep.
maximum size of each dungeon by 25 tiles. And I'm not quite up there because it says I need Rock Carvery.
And that's actually pretty good, too. I think it ups up the mining percentage by 25%.
Yeah, that's another one on my list. But in order to get Rock Carvery, I need Cold Water Smithing and tapping into primordial elements. They're all kind of intertwined with each other. You can't really just get one without working your way up through the chain of research, which is kind of slow.
Okay, we do have a few more questions here, if you're ready to answer.
Shh, ask him.
Okay, we have from Moon Rising on the Guck server again. Is there intergame email, or how do you communicate?
They do have mailing, but I don't think they really thought that one out too well, because you have to know the other person's coordinates before you can mail them. So,
or if you have them in your friends list, you can send them mail too.
Yeah, well, that too, but that wouldn't be through the game. You have to do that through Facebook, which is why I think having the group actually helps for anybody looking to make it a little easier. Make a group, that way you can just kind of find out everybody's coordinates that are around you or that you're going to be traveling to.
Okay, so it's not enough that they know your name. Yeah, they have to know exactly where your dungeon is.
Dungeon is, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, we do have kind of a complicated... get a question, I think, from Cheddarella from the Antonio Bale server, EverQuest 2.
That reminds me, Chad, if you want to be in the Alliance, remind me here and I'll give you an invite. And I have to apologize to Linda real quick. I threw her an invite. I thought it would ask her. It just shoved her into the group.
Oh.
She came on later and politely said, sorry, guys. And I can understand. She's busy and she doesn't need the thing popping up all the time. So
yeah.
I'm sorry. I'll take my 50 lashes later in person.
Okay, well, Cheddarella has a question, and she asks, I have 4 warlocks, 5 orcs, and a thief. Does having 10 out of 10 critters mean a dark elf won't show up even though I have a guard post?
Yes. It will not show up unless you get rid of one of them or unless you get, what is the name of that research?
In other words, this will answer your next question of how do I get more critter slots?
Yeah, there's a research, I believe it's the first one. I'm actually about to just open up the game itself so that way I can refer to these things for you.
Yeah,
but it actually adds to the population of the dungeon. The first one's by 5. I think the next one is, it adds on from there. But yeah, you actually need that one. I actually just got that.
She needs to go through the creature creature mastery research, and it's like the 7th one that you get in that line called creature lesser command. It increases your dungeon population by +5 all dungeons. So the first one you have to do is creature affinity, which helps you control your orcs, which I think is part of the little tutorial progressive thing you do. The next one is minion binding, which is +1 population of goblins. So instead of having you think you start out with 3 or 4, I can't remember, is it 4?
Yeah, 3.
Well, you get one more at that point on the goblins. Forced labor, which says it grants the ability to shock creatures. I never shocked any of my creatures. Have you?
No, I can't see myself shocking them. I don't want them to get unhappy and not work.
Yeah, you run the risk of... I've heard some people shocking them. Then there's ways of subterfuge, which enables control of thieves. Forces of the Dark Gods, which enables you to control dark elves and dark priestesses. Greater Minion Binding, which helps you control ogres. And then the seventh one is Lesser Command of Creatures. And they don't show what the cost is. But if you go to the little icon on the side that says Research Technologies, which is an open book, if you go to either Future Technologies, and then there's a little drop-down menu right underneath that. It says All Technologies, or you can look at Creatures or Dungeons. And I'll show you the ones just for those lines. I mean, this is important because I could never figure out what people were talking about when you guys were talking about. Well, it's down this line of stuff. What line?
Yeah.
But there's Creature Masteries, Dungeon Mastery, Artifact Mastery, and Overlord Masteries. And between the three tabs, you can see what you have, what you can still get, and what you're able to work on currently. In other words, you've met all the prerequisites of the research, and this is the next bit of research that you can do. So there you go.
Hope that helped.
But yeah, it's these little things that I'm learning as I'm going, like, okay, well, I need to have this mastered, and I need to have this building up to this level, or, you know, these two, who was it the other day that, was it you, that had just had reduced, downgraded a room to use the tiles someplace else and found out they needed it to for a research that they were building up for?
Oh, yeah, that was,
that was terrible.
Yeah, that was bad.
Mm-hmm.
That was really bad.
But you don't know these things until you get partway through. But I was going to say, even though I've bought the 25 squares, I have found that I could actually wish I could buy another 25.
Which you cannot.
Which I cannot, so I have to work on the binding, and hopefully...
Yeah, this is going to take a while.
Yeah, to finally get up. Not only bought the 25 dungeons for one, but... yeah, I'm finding that I just don't have enough tiles. I don't know where to take any from, you know, that I haven't already had to use to do something else. You know, like, they wanted me to make a item for one of my rooms, and the room wasn't up high enough, so I had to increase the size of it before I could increase the level. Level 1 and 2 is only a 2x2, but when you get to level 3, it needs a 3x3 square, and level 4 is a 4x4 square. The biggest the room can be is a 5x5, I believe, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Those actually give you an extra experience point an hour, too, if you were to bring the room to 5x5. So, those are definitely worth doing if you have the tile space for it.
Got a question. They want to know, how many tiles should I dedicate to my mind?
It depends on what you're going to do in the area. I mean, I would suggest going for the level 5 mines. I mean, it's definitely one of the easier things to get level 5. And the resources that you'll get from it will definitely come a lot quicker and a lot easier. So I would recommend 5x5 as far as that goes. I mean, the only thing you're really going to have a problem with is the deep ochre at the end, and it only takes 400 deep ochre. So, yeah, getting it up to 5x5 will definitely prove beneficial. Plus, the experience will be needed. Lord knows, getting 2 experience or 4 experience every hour is not cut.
What's the maximum number of creatures do you have per dungeon?
Me?
Yeah. You have 2 dungeons, right?
Yeah, I have 15 in each.
What do you have the majority of in each dungeon?
Oh, warlocks. I'm all about my research right now.
What did you do with your other minions? You just dismissed them?
No, I just put their beds in storage, so if I happen to get attacked by somebody and need an attack party, I just take the warlock beds out and put the other beds in and wait for the guys to come back.
So if I wanted to decrease the amount of orcs in my dungeon, I would just remove their little beds?
Yeah, just remove the beds of something else that you don't need at the moment and replace it with what you do.
Wow, that's a good tip. I didn't know that one.
Yeah, I found that one out the hard way. I got robbed. I got robbed of the resources because my room only had warlocks in it. So when I found out who did it, I took all the beds out for about an hour or two and sent the party of thieves out. And then, they came back with everything that they took from me just about. And then some. And then I put my warlocks back in.
That's good. Okay, well...
Mariana has another question.
If I remove a bed, does the creature... And the creature goes away, do I lose its levels?
Yeah. Yes, you do, which is why I left my warlocks at level 1. Unless you're willing to lose that experience for that person, do not remove their bed. So your ogre, I would definitely leave him in there. You have a level 20...
Yeah, the Fluffy would be really not happy with me if I pulled his bed, so...
Yeah.
Well, that's a good thing to know. I didn't know.
Kicking Fluffy out of bed. What's wrong with you? You're like a crazy person.
I know.
Sorry, I just had to get a word in there edgewise. This is the Jethro Silverwing Show on online gaming radio. Jethro has nothing to do with this conversation.
God. Well, if anybody has any other questions, you can always either go to... There's a forum.
Yeah. What's your address?
Well, there's the forum for Dungeon Overlord, which is over on forums.station.sony.com. It's part of the station forum community. You just find the breakout that says Dungeon Overlord. Did Jethel just scream? No, sort of. And if you go there, there's let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different categories going on, which is general announcements, general discussion, technical account, billing support, feedback, bugs reports, strategies, and game guides. Because the group is a it's a private group on Facebook, I have a couple members I got to add tonight, if it's okay. You can always contact me, and I'll see about getting you in. Or do you mind if they contact you?
I don't mind at all. We're definitely I guess one of the main things I had forgotten to mention was later on, as one of the technologies, I want to say it's in what is that? Overlord Mastery. You actually get the ability to leave your region. So that's like another reason why I made TWA, because I know in other games that I played similar to this, or even just games with guilds as a whole, like, you know, people come in from another area and just kind of take over your area, and then it's either you do what they say or you kind of get crap beat out of you. So before that happened, I wanted to already have something set up so that way once other regions started invading here, they knew, like, yeah, we're not just going to get picked off one by one for our stuff.
We were discussing how many land masses there were. There are. There's continents and tons and tons of little,
regions there.
Regions, yeah. So if nothing else, we can start, like you said, you know, start building a strong alliance for this region.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's not just protecting each other's little dungeons and our little minions, but protecting the whole landmass that we call Wayward.
Okay, just wanted to add something here. Instead of trying to find, you know, sony.station.whatever, just go to dungeonoverlord.com and click forums. There is a dungeonoverlord.com, which is actually...
Cool.
Quite helpful.
Cool.
Talk about something!
anybody from Windward, as I said, it's Windward, Elquin.
Windward, sorry.
Windward, all right. No problem. I confused people on the forum and I didn't, get the option to delete it or, edit it a little bit, but it's the Windward Alliance. So anybody that's in Windward, feel more than welcome. Anybody that's not in Windward, feel more than welcome. Because like I said, later on, when you actually get open borders and can come through, just know that, you're not just going to run into a whole bunch of hostile people. As long as you don't attack us, we won't attack you. I'm more than happy to trade across regions as well.
Yep, we're all good for fair trades. Now, one of the other Sony games you said you play is Pax Nora.
Yeah.
And you've been playing Pax Nora for how long?
Since before Sony took it over.
So you stuck with Pax Nora, and have you liked the improvements that has happened because of that?
Yeah. I mean, when it first started, there was a card game, only your cards acted as little pieces on the board. But, yeah, since Sony took it over, I mean, they added, six new races. They added a whole separate continent for you to battle on. They added, well over 300 different cards. And they just added, recently, they just added a two versing two mode, which was, when Octopi owned it, they had talked about it, but I guess they didn't get the manpower or the support from the community to actually get it up and running. Since Sony took over, though, we've seen a definite population increase in the game, and they actually made it a Facebook app, so we were able to spread the word a lot easier on Facebook about Pax Nora. So, yeah, I actually own my own guild on Pax Nora as well. Shout outs to everybody in the new breed. But, yeah. Definitely a great game with that one. I think the improvements that Sony made, they were awesome. I feel bad for Octopi because, I was kind of loyal to some of their staff, but only one of their staff members kind of made it the Sony portion of the development team, but I think they definitely did good on it.
Have you tried Pax Nora on... They have Pax Nora on Facebook, right?
Yeah, it's a easier way to do it than downloading the actual program.
And have you played it on Facebook?
Yeah, I played it on Facebook, but not too many people. I guess they don't really like the spam popping up because they didn't really have the stuff that you have for other Facebook apps, click on this link and get extra gold or get an extra card or something like that. It just states whether you won the match, you lost the match, or how your guild or how your faction is doing. So not a lot of people, click on... I mean, it's one of those games that you kind of have to put money into to enjoy it, really, because if you're just playing the sample version, they're going to give you pretty much remedial stuff to play with just so you can get an idea of the game. But once you actually start buying your pieces and you learn the tactics and what's in for that month, then you kind of want to spend money on it. They definitely wrote me in. I spent about $2,000 on them.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. I hear that from my wife a lot.
Well, I don't know. I think if we combine all the money we've ever spent on EverQuest and all the updates, game updates, expansions, and then Movie Day at EQ2, and then...
There you go. I'm not the only one.
And
you people don't want to know how much money I've spent on just my, I used to do Poser. Now I'm doing Daz 3D for 3D modeling. You don't want to know. Trust me, you don't want to know how much I've spent on that stuff. And I'm not getting paid for any of the results.
But you enjoy it.
Yes, I enjoy it, so that's important.
I think it's about the equivalent if you have a console system, though, because, eventually you do get tired of playing the same game. You end up selling it, bringing it to GameStop or something like that, and trading it in, getting a new game. So, overall, in time, I can say even when I was younger, I had a Super Nintendo or something like that, the games were still $30, $40, $50 a piece. So, all in all, I guess if you add up all the games and, the accessories you're going to buy for your system, you end up pretty much spending the same amount as you would on an online game. I guess the only difference is you get to keep and look at it, without being online, but hey, every person has their own poison, I guess.
Yeah. You don't want to know how much money I've spent on Dark Elf hookers. It's just... oh, wait. No, we're not talking about that. Sorry.
No.
Moving on. Moving on.
Let me slam. Make sure I put it right about that one on the guild.
Yeah, we'll slam on the brakes on that one. Oh, boy. Sorry, again, you know, people just, you know, they need to know the sound of my voice. So.
I'm here, ladies and gentlemen.
He hasn't fallen asleep.
What?
He puts up with me playing Dungeon Overlord.
You know, people have been asking me where you are.
I have been playing with my minions.
She has minions now!
I have minions!
It's one of the things she's always wanted. She wanted minions.
Isn't it great? You tell them where to go and they just do it. No qualms.
Oh, yeah.
Much better than having a kid.
Who are you telling?
You know, you tell the kid to go somewhere, he just whines and complains. You tell these minions to go and, you know, sometimes you gotta hold up a whip. Yeah.
I have never shocked any of my creatures yet.
Aw, you will eventually, hon. It's okay.
I just added two members to the WTA, by the way. I got one more to add tonight as soon as I figure out which one I want. So there's three new minions for the Alliance.
Yay!
Well, I think we're all minions to each other, too.
So you want minions, I want hostages.
Hostages?
Well, see, hostages are more fun, because as hostages, you get to make your three demands. Getaway car, $300 million in cash, and the letter M stricken from the English language.
Oh, God.
Well, you have to have one demand that's insane, so, you know, when you go to court, oh, that was crazy. Getaway car. Anyway.
Well, I know I've got Eric hooked in on Dungeon Overlord. He's been playing it a lot, begging me for tiles.
And he's been playing DC Universe Online lately.
Yes, he has.
So
I noticed you made another character, but you...
Hmm?
I noticed you said you made another character
mess
around?
Well, I made a character to mess around with it and check it out. It's just, I can't get past the... I hate the WASD navigation system. I hate that. You know, I've been playing, you know, EverQuest and EverQuest 2 for 11 years. I'm used to mouse and numpad. Now they want me to play left-handed, and I can't do it. Can't do it. So, I mean, it's a good game. I mean, I played City of Heroes for a while there, but you could play it on your numpad.
What was your character's name in something about a flaming something or other?
Huh? Oh, in City of Heroes? Oh, God, I don't know. It's been a long time.
Something about a canola or something.
The Flaming Cannoli.
All right.
I think that was the name, the Flaming Cannoli. And he had a big cigar and goggles, and he was all fire based. Anyway, I think we're gonna go ahead and take a music break. Julio, are you gonna be sticking around, or is that it for you? I know it's getting late.
Hey, I'm sticking around. I'm good.
All right, sticking around. We're gonna go ahead and take a little bit of a music break. We'll be back in about 10 minutes or so. With more talk about Dungeon Overlord!
Oh, I'm wondering.
And we have returned. We're here with Julio. Julio and Elk and Jenna are talking about Dungeon Overlord. Take it away, Elkin.
I don't know where you want me to take it to.
Facebook.
All right, now I'm just trying to find out if John is in Windward or not, because I can't find a 9-9 in the coordinates.
Couldn't tell you.
There's a 9-11.
What?
But I can't find a 9-9. And I guess if that's the case, I can't get anything to him yet. 9-5, 9-6, 9-11.
It just skips 4 like that?
That's weird.
Well, there's open spots in there.
Yeah, that's really odd. Hold on, I'll
check over. That's what I'm beginning to... Yeah, he's in another, in another,
Oh, area. You're in
Diamond
another region,
what?
Bro.
He's in Diamond what? Wow, that's a whole different continent, isn't it?
Yeah. I haven't seen Diamond Horn. I'll check right now, though, just in case.
Well, we're on the continent of Solus.
Yeah. On Solus, and the region on Solus is Windward.
While you're checking that out, I just wanted to make the announcement that, once again, AvePagoda.com has announced that Abe Vigoda is, in fact, alive. We need to know these things.
Of course.
Yeah, he's not in, not in our area at all.
Alright, if anyone has any more questions for Julio or El Quingente concerning Dungeon Overlord, over right there on the in-game chat channel, if you have any questions, we're more than happy to help you out there.
Oh, one of our guildies is getting attacked. Time to have some fun.
To answer Clorny's suggestion, Clorny suggested that we get the artist behind WTF Comics. I have extended an invitation to him quite a long time ago and never got a response. So, here we go. However,
yeah, what is this guy? It looks like we're going to be attacking a dungeon.
Yeah, apparently one of our administrators is getting attacked in 18 minutes. I'm trying to get the coordinates from him.
Yeah, give me the coordinates. I'll go help. I'll get Fluffy.
Destroy them!
I'll bring Fluffy.
Yeah, my attack party's kind of just been sitting around, so I'm sure they'll be happy to have something to do. Save some damn food while I'm at it.
It seems like some of our new members are in different regions, but that's okay, because this is what's part of what the Alliance is about.
Yeah.
It's just going to take us a while, guys, to be able to send you anything.
We have
to be able to use the gates.
Yeah, bear with us. We'll bear with you. Still going to need their regions and stuff.
I'll work with them to get them figured out how to pull all the way back out.
Cool.
Nathan's got two dungeons so far. I think a lot of people at level... Well, each level, you can get another dungeon. You can take over another dungeon.
Yeah.
When it's not occupied.
I think they kind of did that on purpose, so that way, you know, you don't just right off the bat go and attack somebody and take their dungeon, and you know, now you have a mundane amount of experience coming up, and then you can just go and get another one. So I think they kind of did the one, like, I think level 2 is more of an expansion of the training. I'm hoping it kind of picks up after level 3, because it took a while to get up to level 3. I'm on 1404 experience right now, so I still got a little bit to go.
1200.
Yeah.
Working on it. You don't get experience for crafting, do you?
I think if a mission calls for it, like, I would craft certain things just in case the mission comes up for it, because like I said, I crafted things ahead of time, and then when the mission came, it was already done.
Yeah, I did those. I did a few of those too. Didn't mean to, but I did. I was messing around, made a couple things bigger, and like, oh, well, I'm already at that level on this.
Yeah, what I actually found out, one of our members turned me on to the Turbo Miners. They're awesome, guys. They're awesome. And you can build as many as you want.
Turbo Miners?
Yeah, they upgrade your mining percentage on everything you mine by 3%.
Now, where do you get turbo miners?
You need 400 fire and 10 iron ingots per turbo miner.
Definitely have to look into that.
Yeah, it's like the bookcase of mining. Percentage.
So
and
it
gets some use to the fire, too, because I wasn't using fire for anything.
So do we get coordinates yet where he's, you know, he's being attacked? He's not sure who's attacking him yet?
Nope, didn't get him yet. I'm going to ask him right now, though.
Hun, I think we've come to an end of talking about Dungeon Overlord. What did you want to touch on the fact that our freebies, our puppies are missing?
Yeah, our in EverQuest 2, the Velios Winter Rewards has been delayed until tomorrow. So our pet Ice Wolf pups, and we're supposed to be getting a potion that'll give us 100% additional experience for AA's regular experience, crafting experience, to last 2 hours. Both of those items will be delayed until tomorrow. So saith Amaraz, our EQ2 representative. Let's see, what else is going on at EQ2? We got 1 month until Velios comes out. Pre-ordering is now available at EverQuest2.com. Pre-order. Let's see what else is going on here. I think there was something new in the marketplace or something. Yeah, let me take a look real quick here. I believe you see services. The race change potion is on sale currently. I think it's normally $20. It's now $15 if you want to change your race. If you're planning on going to the new Freeblood race that'll be available at the next month, if you're planning on going with Freeblood, if you don't want to create a brand new character, I suggest getting the race change potion now while it's on sale.
How much is the race change potion?
It's now $15. I believe it's normally $20 or $25.
It's $25,
it's
I know.
It's normally $25? Yeah. So, yeah, it's $15 right now. If you don't want to start a character from scratch to do the free button,
I might have to buy one.
And Clorny is saying the Noble's Blue Clothing Crate is new. Oh, I like the way that looks. Clorny just linked that in the chat channel. Noble's Blue Clothing Crate. I do like the way that looks. It's an interesting pattern. It's different than the rest of the clothing crates they've been coming out with. I like that. But it isn't like the other crates. The other crates they've been coming out with had like 3 shades available.
Which is it under armor set?
It should be under casual clothes.
And what's it called?
Noble's Blue. It's a very nice pattern, actually. Jethel kind of looks good in it. But yeah, with the other clothing crates, you got like 3 shades. So the other ones had like a light blue, a medium blue, and a dark blue. This one only has 1.
And it's for more.
Oh, is it? Let me see here.
You're looking at Northern Noble Blue?
Noble Blue Clothing Crate. Let me take a look at that.
Yeah.
It was linked to me.
It's 400 station cash.
$40 for that?
No, 400.
Oh, $4. So, yeah, it's a dollar more for some reason.
But if you look at the Northern Weave, is there a difference between the two?
Well,
in design?
Yes.
Maybe that's why.
Yeah, I would say the Noble Blue that we're just talking about now is much better looking. It is very much better looking.
Yeah, but you got pants. Those are actually pants, like blue jean pants.
Yeah, they kind of have a denim design to them.
They're nice.
It looks noble. There's no other way really to put it. It looks
good.
What
else did you say was...
Hmm?
What else did you say that was new?
Actually, you know what? The Noble's blue clothing crate isn't marked as new. So that's kind of weird, actually. Don't recognize anything else in the casual wear that's new. Let me check the armor sets. I'm not seeing anything new in the armor sets.
I'm saying no. John Jarrus just said Noble's Blue is 2 weeks old.
It's 2 weeks old?
Yeah.
Wow, and I didn't see that one before.
They're saying, let's see, I can't say Manila.
Manila.
No, not Manila. Malevolent.
Malevolent.
Yes, thank you. Arcanic.
Yeah, that's a week or so old.
Gnome Heritage, I know, but those are new.
Yeah, the Gnome Heritage has been around for almost a month now.
And the only thing that's on sale is the Race Potion. Yeah.
That I can see, anyway.
Well, those are the featured items. It's still nice stuff.
Void
Blighted Vanguard is new?
No, Void Blighted is over a week. It's over a week old. I remember that one coming out. I mean, it's listed as new, but it's over a week old. I can't wait for them to come out with a Wood Elf Heritage armor. Whatever that's going to look like.
No idea.
All right, let's see here. Legion and Kithacor just had their guild meeting this past weekend. For anyone who may be interested or missed the meeting or whatever, the official stance from the Legion of Kithacor is we will treat the new free blood race just as any other race in Norrath, with the exception of trolls. You will be judged on your actions, not by the fact that you're a vampire. That is the official word from leadership.
Me.
Little O you.
Very noble.
Although I have noticed something that True Flight brought up to us a couple weeks ago. We have an overabundance of dark elves.
Yeah, it's getting kind of dark in the guild, isn't
it? It's getting very purple in the guild. I don't know why. I mean, Jethel's not really complaining. You know, they're not evil dark elves. They're not trying to take over things. And you know, of course, they're hot as hell. But I don't know what the recent influx of dark elves is all about. That's like the only statistic I can't get from EverQuest2.com when we go look up our guild. It'll tell us how many rangers, how many scouts, how many paladins, blah, blah, blah.
Well, you used to be able to see that.
Yeah, it doesn't do that anymore. It doesn't break it down by race anymore.
That's not fair. You can't do that within the guild, can you, in the roster anymore?
No, you can't sort it by race.
That would be interesting.
I would be willing to bet that over 50% of the guild is dark elves at this point.
Elves rule.
Well, elves rule, yes, but these are all dark elves.
Well, I guess they're still elf and kin, so it's not too bad. Maybe they've just been out in the sun too long.
I think it's a conspiracy from Urson, who is a dark elf himself in a position of being one of my officers. I think he's recruiting from Nariak.
You know, ironically, on Pox Nora, I also play with elves, which is awesome altogether.
No, that's an interesting point from Irisi on the test server. Not many people actually play humans in EverQuest 2.
They're so boring.
Yeah, they're kind of mundane. They're kind of mundane. Especially now that they've opened up the classes to all races. Anyone can be anything. Like, well, why be a human?
Yeah, I mean, you're a human in real life. Why would you want to be in the game, too?
You don't see a whole lot of high elves, either. Well, high elf males, I should say. You don't see a lot of high elf males. High elf females? Yeah, you'll see them wandering around. Froglocks. The little frog people? I don't know if you're familiar with EverQuest 2.
Yeah, I've seen it a couple of times.
But Froglocks, little frog people, you don't see them a whole lot. And when you do, it's usually not going to be female. I think some people may have problems with dwarven females as well. I suppose it's kind of weird having a female with a beard.
Yeah, it's a little unattractive.
Well, if you're not a dwarf.
Yeah. Well, even still, I'd imagine that would still be a little unattractive for a dwarf.
You know, that's one of the few things I liked about the Dungeons & Dragons movie that was made. I mean, for the most part, it was a joke, and a bad joke at that. But the dwarf character was friggin' awesome.
Yeah, I think the Lord of the Rings did a pretty good job on
Gimli.
Time frame, yeah.
Zero chance of success, almost certainty of death. What are we waiting for?
Yeah, that sounds definitely dwarf.
Mm-hmm.
Even in that movie, I must say, Legolas is my favorite. Orlando Bloom did an awesome job there.
Yes, he did.
Elves just rule all together. They have, like, the best powers, immortality, hell of an archer.
Mm-hmm.
That's very stereotypical of them, though. Why do all elves have to be archers? Or most of them.
Yeah.
Seems like a stereotype.
Yeah.
You know
definitely
what?
Definitely that is.
I think we're going to go ahead and cut the show short. And I want to watch more True Blood. Elfin and I have been watching True Blood like crazy. You picked up the Season 2 DVD set over the weekend, and we're just about to the last DVD. I want to see what's happening here. It's really starting to get intense. For those of you who may have tried watching True Blood and kind of gave up during the first season, move on to the second season. Well, don't skip the first season or you won't understand anything. But stick with it. It gets better in the second season.
I swear this is the only one I've seen show in a long time. It's got some hell of a cliffhangers at the end of each show, and it's like,
now I don't want to go to bed to step in the next DVD.
Yeah. I hate to. I don't think I'd want to watch it live because I'd go nuts.
But no, I have to wait another week.
Yeah, they got a good hook.
Alrighty, so we're gonna go ahead and say goodnight for this week, folks. We're gonna see you next week. Who knows, maybe I can possibly get someone from DC Universe Online on.
That would be good.
That would be good. I mean, outside of the navigation issues, I thought it was a good game. Eric's liking it a lot. The boy is loving it.
He might actually give up WoW.
Well, you know what? If he can give up World of Warcraft, if he can give up World of Warcraft for DC Universe Online, then I'm all for it. So I'm going to contact my my contacts at Sony and see if we can get someone to come on the show and talk about DC Universe. And we're going to go watch some True Blood. Julio, thank you very much for coming on. Oh, I'm sorry, is it Julio or Julio or Julio?
Julio.
I'm sorry. Okay.
No problem.
So Julio, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, man.
Next week, possibly someone from DC Universe Online. We will certainly try to get someone on. If not, then
you just have to deal with us.
You'll have to deal with us ranting and raving about stuff going on. I might even break the NDA. No, I'm not going to break it. Domino, the trades guild developer from Sony listens to the show every week. And I think her heart just gets me. Don't break the NDA! Non-disclosure agreement. And that's it, folks. We'll see you next week. Thank you very much, Julio.
Alrighty.
Night,
guys.
Guys.
That's it. You've wasted another night listening to the Jethel Silverwing Show. I'm your host, Jethel Silverwing.
I'm Elquin Jenna.
I'm the Drunken Dwarf!
I'm Cheesehead Nibblebun!
This show is brought to you by Online Gaming Radio. Our technical advisor is Spike Link Death. Facts and Intelligence brought to us by The Grassy Knoll. The Jethel Show is produced by a 4-pound jar of jelly beans, 2 badgers, a packet of expired Twinkies, a sack of walnuts, Biff, the weird guy who hands out free candy behind the school in a long trench coat down the street, and a small rock.
Yay, rock!
Be sure to catch the show every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and 2 a.m. in the U.K.
There's a 2 a.m.? Why doesn't anyone tell me these things?
So, for myself, the Drunken Dwarf, Cheez-It, and my love, Elkun Jenna, keep your arrows in the air and your feet on the ground.